Okay, it's on. Sorry, you missed the prayer. So, anyway, so if you've got your Bibles today, open up to the book of Galatians. And so, you know, we're reading through the Bible in a year, and we're getting towards the end, because if you didn't know it, next week is Thanksgiving. So, start fasting now, so you've got, you know, plenty of room for all that. But we're getting close to the end. Like I mentioned last week, I do think, unless God just throws a complete curveball at me, I think after the first of the year, we're going to switch over and we're going to start a study in the book of Romans, probably for about a year or however long it takes. You know, when I went through James, it took almost 2 years. So, you know, I think I can do Romans in a year. Why not? So, anyway, I want to just let you guys kind of know what that's going to look like per se. It's not just going to be a show up and I'm teaching every week like I normally do, but I'm going to try to make it semi-interactive, make it more of a study where you guys actually have, not homework, because people don't like the word homework, but you have purposed things that you can do to be studying the book as we go through it. That way we can, you know, it is my job to make sure you guys have all the tools to study the Bible as best you can. So I'm hoping someday you guys are better at it than anybody at the pastoral level. And so it is going to be a kind of a hands-on thing. I just don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but just so you know. But anyway, so today, the book of Galatians. And so I was trying to get caught up on where we were at. I'm behind in my reading, I know. You should, you know, probably find somebody else to teach. But I was behind on my daily reading for the class. I've had some other stuff I've been looking through and stuff with HBI. But as I was getting kind of caught up, something kind of jumped out at me as we were going through this. And so if you're caught up on the reading, you would be in, where would you be today, Paige? If you were, yeah, so you're in Ephesians. So if you want to jump in and finish off the year strong, just pick up there. Paige can send you the schedule. I can send you the schedule. It doesn't matter. Really, December's getting ready to happen, and we send it out the first of every month anyway. But so that's kind of where we're at. And so as I was looking through this, you guys know we went through, well, we kind of skipped over Romans, and last week we looked into some stuff out of 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians is a book that was written to basically try to get the church back on track because, well, they really weren't doing what they needed to be doing, and they were kind of living in sin, pretty much outright sin. And so we kind of looked at some things out of that. And so I wasn't really looking for something like this today because we kind of talked about something like that last week. But as I was reading through some of Galatians and some things that stuck out, if you get into Galatians chapter 3, there was something that just kind of popped off the page at me. And you guys know how I am. I'm pretty much black and white. There's not a whole lot of fluff with me. I call it like I see it. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. But that's just, you know, I feel like the Bible is very black and white. There's not a lot of gray area. God says this is the command, and then it's our choice to obey or disobey, right? And so too often we think, well, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that, but, or we say, yeah, that's what you think. And I'm like, no, the Bible's pretty clear. And so there's not a lot of fluff with it. And so that's just kind of how I am. So sometimes when I come across something like this, it's just like, wow, you know, that's right up my alley. That's like something I would say, you know, and it's just kind of like sometimes you just have to, you have to call sin what it is. It's called sin. And it's not, oh, I'm struggling with this. Yeah, you might be. But at the end of the day, what you're struggling with is sin. And so when I come across things like this, it kind of just jumps out at me. And so as I was looking through it, and I'm like, man, these guys are going to think I'm really on their case. But it's really not. That's just something God was showing me. So Galatians chapter 3, I want to look at just kind of the first part of the chapter. And so here's what I've got today, right? And so it's always, not always a list, but it's generally a list because it just works in my brain that way. So I got six things we need to stop thinking so we can get back where we started. Six things we need to stop thinking so that we can get back to where we started. Too often in, and I'll say it again in a minute, too often in our Christian walk, we get the cart way ahead of the horse, right? We get so busy with, yeah, I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing that, and you do need to be doing those things, but that doesn't mean you need to stop doing the things that you were already told to do, right? Too often we're like, yeah, I need to, and then you get so busy doing that, you know, you're leading ministry, and you're, you know, the captain of this, and you're the leader of that, but you're not even in the Word, right? And so we get things out of whack. And so there were some things that just, these are some mindsets we need to stop having so we can get back to just where it starts. At the end of the day, isn't it just, it's just nice to know that Christ died on the cross for you, right? And it's like, yeah, I know that. That's the church thing to say. No, he really did. When you just boil it all down, he knew that there was going to be you, and you were worth it. And so we like to overcomplicate things, and that's just us. But at the end of the day, you were worth it for Christ. And so, if that's the case, and you were worth it, and you are worth it, so if you're struggling with that, that's, you know, that's nonsense. You are worth it. You were worth it. He would have died even if it was only you. You know, we like to say that, you guys have heard me say this, we like to say that Christ died for the sin of the world. Well, he did do that, but he died for your sin. You have to make it personal, because he would have done it if it was only yours. And so, realize that, but we forget. Like, we get so busy with everything else. And those are all good things. Those are things we're called to, we're supposed to be doing, right? Family, kids, jobs, church, ministry, just whatever. Everything. All at once. And we just forget that, you know what? You were worth it. And so if you're worth it, then we need to make sure that we're doing the things that we're told to do. Because, man, there's nothing more frustrating, like with my, and I don't like to use my kids as examples too much, but I will right now. There's nothing more frustrating, like with my kids, right? When you go completely out of your way to do something for them, and they're just completely ungrateful for it. And they don't do it on purpose, but you'll just go completely out of your way to make this happen. You know, my boys are like the teenage years, and they're not driving yet. One of them is getting ready to drive. It's, on one hand, I'm like, praise the Lord, I don't have to be your chauffeur anymore. And on the other hand, it's like, that terrifies me. So it's all of that all at once. But you go out of your way to do this and this and this, and then it's just like, do you not even care? And then I think back and I'm like, I wonder if God thinks that about me sometimes. Like, he went completely out of his way to make my life completely usable. And then I'm just like, yeah, but... And that's what we do. So anyway, that's what I got. Six things we need to stop thinking so we can get back to where we started. And so let me just read some of this, and then we'll circle back around and get started. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, and this is what popped out of the page at me, because I kind of like it when people, you know, have a reality check. And he says, Paul says to the church at Galatia, "O foolish Galatians." I'm like, whoa, that's kind of like, yeah. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministereth to you the Spirit, and maketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham," so he starts using Abraham as an example, "even Abraham believed God, and was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And I'm going to circle back around and kind of try to explain all this, right? Verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, that it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And so that's kind of what I want to look at today. Usually I don't read the whole thing, but I just kind of want to get your mind wrapped around it, because I do want to kind of go through this and tell you what's going on here. But then I also want to circle around and make, you know, tell you what God was showing me. And so, yes, I'm going to give you six things that you need to stop thinking, but God had six things that I need to stop thinking as well. And some of them we know. Some of them we're like, yeah, I know that. Yeah. And then some of them we're like, okay, I get it, God. I see exactly what you're telling me. Yes, sir. Right? And so here's the first one. Here's the first one in verse 1. You've got to stop thinking that simple obedience is optional. You have to stop thinking that simple obedience is optional. He says, "O foolish Galatians." And they're like, what? That's kind of rude.
Well, sometimes that's what you need to hear, right? Sometimes you need somebody to just tell you the truth instead of trying to sugarcoat it and everything else. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who's been lying to you that says you can just do what you want to do? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." He says, okay, church, here's my question for you, just right off the top. Well, what is the problem? Who's been lying to you, saying that you can basically do what you want, because you already know that you were saved by faith, and it was all through the blood of Christ. You know the truth. So who is it that's getting you all confused? Because I need to talk to him. Or better yet, maybe it's not somebody. Maybe it's you that's kind of getting this all figured out. So too often we're like, yeah, that was this guy who was saying this. And obviously we need to address false teaching. We need to address things like that. But a lot of times it starts up here. It starts up here. We start thinking, well, I think this is what it means, or I think that's what it means, right? And the new movement in churches today is the small group thing, right? And I don't think that it's a bad thing per se. You know, do we do it here? No, that's okay, right? This would be considered like our small group. Instead, we call it a Bible fellowship, and it's more pinpointed. But the small group thing, here's the problem that has with the small group thing. Everybody reads the same thing, and we all come together with our, you know, cup of coffee and our square-rimmed glasses, and I don't know if anybody's got square-rimmed glasses, but, you know, and this is what I think it means, and this is what I think it means. And, I mean, it's okay to talk about what the Spirit's showing you, but at the end of the day, we need to know what the Bible's saying, right? And we need to make sure that we're taking heed of what the Bible's telling us, instead of, well, I think it means this, and I think it means that. And, you know, it's okay to do a book study, but at the end of the day, we need somebody that's going to expound truth, right? And so he says, who hath bewitched you, right? That he says, who hath, but you should not obey the truth. Who has told you that it's okay for you to not do what you know you're supposed to be doing? Who is it that said, you know, yeah, I know you think that you're supposed to, you know, come to church. You're supposed to love your brother. You're supposed to love your wife. You're supposed to give to the church. You're supposed to do the work of the ministry. You're supposed to do whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? You're supposed to do those things, and you know, who told you that you don't have to do that all of a sudden? Because I didn't. And Paul's like, I speak with authority. I didn't tell you that. So who has done this? Because who has said that you should not obey the truth? Too often in our lives, right? And so that's what he's asking the church. And okay, it's pretty black and white. What's he saying here? Well, that's what he's telling the church. Here's what happens in our lives. We know what we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to be in the ministry. I'm supposed to be in the Word of God. Holy smokes. I mean, let's start there. I'm supposed to be praying, not just for my edification, but for the edification of the body, because when I'm praying for other people, all those things, right? And so we know what we're supposed to be doing. But we convince ourselves in our mind somehow, some way that, yeah, but I'm really busy. Right? Yeah, but I just can't right now. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that, but if you only understood, yeah, but at the end of the day, and this is just me being me, you got to stop with the yeah, but, and just be obedient. Because you know what God blesses? He blesses obedience. Man, He blesses obedience. He tells Noah, what did He tell Noah? Hey, I want you to build an ark, because it's going to rain so much that the world's going to be flooded. And Noah's like, dude, what? It's never... What is rain? It's never done that before. And, oh, so what's a boat? What's an ark? Like, it floats? Floats on what? All right, so he had every reason to be like, yeah, but God. But I don't read in Genesis, that's what he did. He says, he was like, okay, and he did it. And I'm just not guessing that this ark just jumped together in a couple days. Like, he had years to think about, am I the craziest guy in the world for obeying God? You know, sometimes we can't even get through an hour of just doing the thing that we're simply supposed to do without being, yeah, but you just don't understand. You know, think about simple. God blesses simple obedience. He blessed it, right? He saved Noah and his family, right? What about Abraham? He's like, Abraham, take your son, your only son. You remember the son that I promised you that you didn't think you'd ever have, and now here he's here. Take him up on the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. And Abraham's like, All right, saddle up. Let's go. Right? He takes him on the mountain, fully believing that God's going to raise him from the dead if he kills him, right? It says that in Hebrews, that he honestly believed, he would have went through with it. He honestly believed that if he would have killed him, God was going to bring him back. He believed that so much because God had no reason to give it to him in the first place. Right? He was old, Sarah was old, but here he is and he's got it. And so God blesses simple obedience. What about with Moses? He had every reason. Yeah, but I can't speak right. Right? Yeah, I can't talk too good. Yeah, but I can't do that. But guess what? He just does it. And he just does what he's supposed to do. It took a while, right? Kind of like with me sometimes. Yeah, it takes a while to get on the right track. And God blesses it. Simple obedience. What if Christ would have been like, yeah, I know that I'm here on a mission, you know, for the sin of the world. But I don't want to. Right? God blesses simple obedience. That's the point. So we have to stop thinking that simple obedience is optional. And you can give me every excuse in the book, and you know what I'm going to tell you every time? God blesses simple obedience. Well, I can't afford that, right? I can't afford to go on the mission trip that God's calling me to do. I can't afford to go and sacrifice this, or I can't afford the time because I'm so busy that the ministry, yeah, somebody else can do it, right? I can't afford. You know what I'm going to tell you every single time? God blesses simple obedience. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where, you know, God blessed the yeah, but. He doesn't do that. And we've got plenty of excuses. I know. I'm top of the line, right? I'm really busy. And God's like, you wouldn't be. Do you want me to like clear off your schedule? I'm like, no, don't do that, please. Need to provide. You know? He blesses simple obedience, right? And so, if nothing else, get that. Because too often, we get so ingrained in our doing the church thing, right? I'm doing the church thing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. He blesses simply. So stop thinking that simple obedience is optional, because it's not. It is absolutely not optional. Never. And so stop with the yeah, but. Paul's like, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Stop thinking that. Moving on in verse 2. He says, this only what I learned of you, so this is what I've heard of you guys at the Church of Galatia, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's like, let me ask you another question. When you got saved, was it by faith or by your good works, you know, keeping the law? Tell that to me. That's my question for you. Did you get saved by faith, or was it by the works of the law? Verse 3. He says, are you so foolish? He's on a roll. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? He says, let me ask you a question. When you heard the gospel the first time I was here, when I established this church, when I was coming through on my missionary journey, right, and I established this thing, did I say, hey, you need to, you know, get circumcised and you need to keep the law and do all these things? No, that's not what I said. It was by grace, through faith alone, right? Yes, now obviously we're called unto good works once we're saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Now he says, no, where did you get messed up here? Because are you so foolish to think that what God started in faith, now He needs you to do all these good works to keep it? No, that's a mess. That's not what's going on. And that's what He's telling them, right? I don't know where you guys have got off track, but it has nothing to do with that. And it has everything to do with the fact that it's always been by faith and it'll always be by faith. God doesn't need your good works. Obviously, He desires them. He doesn't need them. Right? God doesn't need you. He just desires to use you. Right? Here's your second thing that you got to stop thinking. You got to stop thinking that trying harder will fix your problems. And this is where God was like, smack me in the face. Right? This was like reality check. Because this is me. Well, yeah, I know. I'm behind. I got to do this, 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 and this. I just need to sleep less and do more, right? Because that's my only option. It's like, okay, I guess I'll just I'll forsake this, and the only thing I got to forsake, because it can't be the ministry and it can't be the work, and so I'll just sleep less, whatever, right? Because I'm not going to forsake my family and I'm not going to do those things. I've already tried that; it doesn't work, right? And so, hey, I'm telling you, when I was young in the Lord, that's how it was. I had to forsake something, and I always knew that my family would be there, and that was not wise. And so it's like, okay, I just need to try harder. I need to work harder. I need to study harder, and this will all be easier. You got to stop thinking that trying harder is going to fix your problems. And so here's what happens. You go back to the first point. I know I'm supposed to be simply obedient, and this is what God's telling me to do. And here's my yeah, but reason. And so to make up for it, instead of saying, God, can you just help me figure this out? We say, I got this, God, right? And that's one of my famous sayings back in the day. I try not to say it much anymore. I got this, God. I'll call you for the big stuff. I got this little thing. And then the little thing blows up in my face. Your yeah, but turns into, what in the world just happened, right? So I'm just going to try harder, right? God's not going to bless that. God's not going to bless that. God is going to bless you going to Him and calling out and saying, God, help me. Right? God, use me. You know, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be, what's Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? It's my favorite verse in the Bible. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah, I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing, right? I'm supposed to just basically give everything I've got, and that's the least I can do for God. That's what he's saying. But I know I'm supposed to be doing that, but I just can't right now, man. You don't understand. No, I do understand. God bless his simple obedience. Right? God bless it. And I remember when Paige and I didn't have two nickels to rub together, but that was way too much money. We didn't have two pennies to rub together, right? And it was just like, I don't know how we're going to do what God is calling us to do. And it was just like over and over and over again when you were just simply obedient and said, okay, God, if this is what you're calling us to do, whether it be sign up for a trip, whether it be to whatever it is, right? He blesses it. And you're like, well, the numbers don't add up. You're right. But God's accountant did, right? And it did. And God blesses those things. So we got to stop thinking that if I just try a little bit harder, that's going to fix your problems. That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. He says, are you so foolish to think that I saved you by grace through faith, and you've been walking in faith, and now that something gets hard, now you're going to put me to the side and think that if you just work a little harder, things are going to get easier? No, absolutely not. Like, I am a personal testimony that that does not work. Right? Over and over and over again in my life. I'm telling you. I'm ingrained to be that kind of guy. To work hard and to do, I try to ingrain that in my boys. But you know what? God appreciates you working hard. But you know what he appreciates more? You calling out to him. And being willing. And being available. Right? He doesn't need your ability. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Right? You're not available if you're saying, I got this, God. Right? And so, stop thinking trying harder is going to fix your problems. Because it doesn't. It doesn't. Verse 4. I'm sorry. Think about this. Just go back to this. Here's just kind of an example. The example that came to my mind with this was David. And we like, David is a man after God's own heart. There is not another person in the Bible that says that there was somebody who was after God's own heart as much as David was. But David had a few huge character flaws at times, right? And so he screwed up with the whole Bathsheba thing, and we all know how that goes. And so instead of calling out to God and saying, God, you need to help me, right? He just tried a little harder to hide it. He just tried a little harder to take care of it. And how'd that work out for him? Man, it just kept getting worse. Stop thinking trying harder is going to fix it, because it doesn't. There's a ton of examples, but that's just the one that popped plain as day in my head this morning. Okay, verse 4. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He's like, I know you guys have been going through some things, and you've been saying, yeah, I've got this, God, and now it just, does it feel like you keep stubbing your toe? Does it feel like everything you do is just blowing up in your face? He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you, the Spirit, which would be who? Would be Christ, the Holy Spirit, Paul, me, right? I'm ministering to you, the Spirit, capital S, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or hearing of faith? Paul's using himself as an example, and he's like,
He therefore that minister to you the Spirit, that was me, I brought the gospel to you. He's using himself as an example. He's like, did I do those things by the works of the law or just by faith, being obedient, right? Is that what's going on here? He's like, hey, does it seem like everything you're doing is blowing up in your face? Have you ever felt that in your life? It's like, it doesn't matter how hard I try, and like everything's wrong. It doesn't matter. Everybody I talk to, it's just like everything I do is not good, right? And so, obviously, in times like this in your life, and this is a complete side note, it has nothing to do with my notes, but just so you know, when it seems like things in your life are just blowing up here and here and here, there's a couple things you need to ask yourself. First off, don't always just account it to spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare happens all the time. And sometimes it is. It's like spiritual warfare, things go crazy. But maybe first, you should just do a little self-evaluation and make sure that God's not chastising you for some sin that you've got unconfessed. Start there. Start with, let me make sure I'm clean. Like, and that doesn't mean, look at Job. He was clean, and things blew up all around him. So, that happens. But step one, check yourself. Make sure that you're clean before God. Right? Yeah, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? You got to. Okay, step two, understand that you are in a battle, a spiritual battle. And you do have God on your side, but guess what? The adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion seeketh who he may devour. Right? You're in a battle, and that's okay. Right? Sometimes in battle, people get shot. Sometimes in battle, people get, you know, things happen. And that's okay. As long as you're fighting the good fight, understand that that happens. But make sure that it's not inward. Make sure it's not something that you're causing on yourself. Too often I hear people say when things are not good, they're like, man, everything has happened around me. Spiritual warfare is crazy. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Maybe you ought to quit treating your wife like that and see how your spiritual warfare calms down a little bit. Right? Or maybe you ought to just quit doing whatever it is you're doing over here. I'm just using an example, guys, whatever. I understand that the husband is always the one that's in the wrong, so I never use the wife as the example, right? That's how it is in my house.
At least you know.
Here's your third thing. Stop thinking that you're too good for God's chastisement. Stop thinking you're too good for God's chastisement. Stop thinking that I'm in the ministry and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing that and I'm so busy with that and man, everything around me is blowing up. Stop thinking that you're too good for God's chastisement, because you know what He says He's going to do over and over and over again? That He will chastise you as one of His children. That's a promise. And that's a promise instead of running from, you should embrace. We chastise our children when they do something wrong, don't we? Why? Because we just really like to spank them? No. No, absolutely not. No, that's not it. Because I want them to be better for it. I want them to learn from it. The same thing that God does, man. So if it seems like everything in your life is just like, man, I do not know what's going on, make sure it's not you. Because sometimes God's chastisement, it comes. And it's very, very valid, and it's very deserved. Even in my own life, it's been deserved. So just make sure, right? Because that's what happens. We're in the body of Christ, and we're doing what we need to be doing, or at least we think so. And we're so busy with ministry that we're not even reading the Word, and we're so busy with this that, you know, I think too often that right there is a key. We get so busy with church that we forget God. If you ever get too busy for this, I'll be the first one to tell you, why don't you step back a few steps, right? And get back to the basics. Because if it doesn't start here, day in and day out, none of that other stuff's going to matter, right? That's wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn up. And God's after silver, gold, silver, and precious stones. Make sure it starts here. And it's personal. Stop thinking that you're too good for God's chastisement, that you're so above what God is doing, and you're so above, you know, God wouldn't chastise me. I'm doing this, this, and this for Him. Okay. I'm just saying it. I'm just telling you guys. Stop thinking that. I think that I don't just outright think that I'm better than God, right? But there's been times in my life that I'm like, okay, what is going on here? And I look at it and I'm like,
oh, so that's what's going on here. I'm thinking too highly of myself, right? And God's putting me exactly where I need to be, right? I'm the kind of person that thinks, you know, they say you can't put a square peg in a round hole, and I'm like, with a big enough hammer, yes, you can. And sometimes God's like, no, that's not how we're doing this, right? That's not how we're doing this. And so just know, don't think that you are too good for God's chastisement. I got to get moving. Verse 6. So he switches gears here, and he's like, let me use Abraham as an example, because you guys know Abraham and the whole thing. So he says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Everybody knows that, right? He's talking to the church. Everybody knows that. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham? He's making a comparison here of they who are of the faith, meaning those who have gotten saved since Christ has come and died for them, right? The new way into heaven. It's not by living a faithful life. It's by the blood of Christ now, right? Since Christ came and died on the cross, that's how you get saved now. So he says, know you therefore that they which are of the faith... Anybody who's saved, the same are the children of Abraham. He's like, well, how's that work? Because they didn't get saved the same way that we did. Now they can now, but, you know, Abraham didn't quote-unquote get saved. It was Old Testament, right? It's completely different. But we know that God had promised this to Abraham, so he's making a comparison here to the old way of basically living by faith, right, in the Old Testament, and not really getting saved, but living a holy life and getting to heaven in the Old Testament. He's making a comparison to that, and in the way that you now just simply believe by faith in the New Testament, in the blood of Christ, that He died for your sin, right? And he's saying, hey, at the end of the day, it's kind of the same thing. It's not the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing. The same promises to Abraham, now you inherit those just by taking on the blood of Christ. Because, and then he moves on and he says in verse... I'm sorry, I want to make sure I get... Know ye therefore that they which are the faith are the same as the children of Abraham in verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith... That's basically every Gentile, right? The heathen, known as the Gentiles... preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He's making this comparison to, you got saved by living a holy life before. You didn't really get saved. Don't get me wrong. They did not get saved in the Old Testament. It was by faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, this guy. By faith, this guy. By faith. Well, guess what? We get saved by faith as well. It's just by the faith and the belief of the blood of Christ on the cross. And he says, how did you miss it that he said all nations are going to be blessed in Abraham? Well, if it would have stayed that way, only the children of Israel were going to get blessed. So how is all nations compare to children of Israel only? Something had to happen. And he's making this comparison. He's making this comparison that at the end of the day, we're all bought with a price, right? It was all taken care of. That's what he's saying. Here's your next thing. You got to stop thinking that the Bible doesn't directly apply to you. What he's saying here is, you guys are thinking that, you know, yeah, Abraham is good, great, and wonderful, but, you know, I'm a Gentile, and I didn't get saved. I don't get the promises of Abraham because he's Jewish, and it was the nation of Israel thing, right? That's what we think about the Bible sometimes. Yeah, it sounds really great, but that doesn't apply to me, right? Yeah, I know it says that, but yeah, that doesn't really apply to me. I know it says that I'm not supposed to do that, but, you know, that's what you believe. I know that you got to stop thinking that the Bible doesn't directly apply to you. This happens a lot, and I like to say the younger generation thinks this, but really every generation has always thought that they were the next great, big, awesome thing. Well, guess what? You're just the same as everybody before you and everybody after you. You're lost, and you need Christ at the end of the day. And so we have to stop thinking that, I know that the Bible says that, but that was written to a different age. Are you serious? So the Bible was real enough to save your soul, but it's not real enough to guide your life. Is that what you're telling me? No. Well, yeah, that's exactly what you just told me. We've got to stop thinking that the Bible doesn't directly apply to you. Now, obviously, we know that all of the Bible is written for us, but not all the Bible is written to us. It might not be written directly to you as the church, right? Don't go to Exodus and be like, oh, I got to keep these Ten Commandments. No, that's not the case. But they might be handy to at least put in your back pocket. I'm not supposed to kill anybody. Well, that's probably a good thing to at least try to not do, right? Or any of those things, right? Whatever it is. So it's all written for you, for your edification. It's not all written directly to you. Just know that. But stop thinking that, well, that doesn't apply to me, right? That doesn't apply to me. I can do what I want. God's not going to get mad. No, go back to point one. God blesses simple obedience. That's what He blesses, simple obedience. Yeah, I know. We already talked about that. God blesses simple obedience. Stop thinking the Bible doesn't directly apply to you. He's like, hey, I know you, church at Galatia, you're like, What does Abraham have to do with what we're talking about? Because Abraham is a Jew, and that was a Jewish promise. What's that have to do with faith? That's what it has to do with you. By faith you got saved. By faith they believed and did. That's what it has to do together. Right? Moving on, verse 10. Try to get done. For as many are as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. Stop thinking that obedience and faith are not directly related. And it says right here, you could take this wrong. It says right here, I got to find where it says that. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Right? So you're like, well, what you're saying is that even if I do good, God's not going to bless it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you believe in faith, right? You get saved by faith, right? Is that not how every person in here, if you are a born-again believer today, you got saved by simple faith. And then you're saved unto good works. You're saved to glorify God. You're not saved so you can go out and live like hell. You're not saved so you can go out and do whatever you want. You know, the book of Romans, we're going to get a lot into that, right? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. That's not what we're talking about. Stop thinking that obedience and faith are completely different. Faith is just, yeah, I believe. Obedience is, yeah, I have to do. And basically it all boils down to works versus faith. Well, guess what? We talked about this in James, you know, 2 years ago, or however long ago that we went through James. Obviously, salvation is by faith. But yes, you are called unto good works to glorify God. That is what you were created for. By all Revelation 4:9, I think, is 4:11?
I don't know.
We are created for what? To have a good time? No. We are created for God's pleasure. That's what we're created for. Everything. 4:11, yeah. Sorry, I don't know why. That's what we're created for. So if I'm created for God's pleasure, and He says that, what brings Him glory? Doing the work of God. So yeah, you are saved by faith. You are, but make sure you're doing what you need to be doing. You're being obedient. Right? Obedience isn't an option. Because if you think it is, then that's when you get back to the chastisement thing and all that, right? So stop thinking that obedience and faith are not directly related. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. They have to. Verse 13 and 14 will be done. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He said, we don't have to live by the law, but cursed is everywhere. Christ hath redeemed us of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He goes back to his comparison of Abraham. And he's like, you remember all those promises that you thought were never going to apply to you because you're not Jewish? Well, guess what? By faith, you can have all of them. Right? Now, obviously, you know, you're not Jewish. You're not promised, you know, the land, the name, the seed, and the blessing that God, or that Abraham was promised in the Abrahamic covenant. But the inheritance of eternal life, that you have that. And what is it through? The works of the law? No. It is simply by faith. And it's always going to be by faith. Right? Too often, if you read all of Paul's epistles, he spends a lot of time trying to differentiate works versus grace and faith. A lot of time. Why? Because that's what we're still hung up on today. If I just try real hard, right? We get a case of the try-hards. If I just try real hard, then it'll work out. No, it doesn't. And it just doesn't. It's by grace. Here's the last thing you got to stop thinking. You got to stop thinking you need to add to the work done on the cross. I know God did all that for me, but I need to help God out a little bit on this one, right? I gotta do a little extra on this one, right? That's what he tells these guys. He's like, basically, he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How do you do that? Crucified on the cross, right? For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, if you didn't know any different, if you didn't know this today, you're a Gentile. I guess unless you're born a Jew, and I don't think anybody in here is, so you're a Gentile, right? Yeah, Chiss is, right? Not Chris, but Chiss. That's a joke for a different day. Anyway, you're a Gentile, and he says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through works. No, he says through faith. Stop thinking you need to add to the work done on the cross. It was finished. Right? Anytime I get done with a project, my kids, I don't know, this is just kind of like one of my sayings right now. I'm like, it's like Jesus on the cross, man. It's finished. It's done. We are out of here. This job is finished. It's like Jesus on the cross. Because that's what he says. He says it is finished. It's taken care of. He's like, not to be continued. It is finished. Stop thinking you need to add to the work done on the cross. That was another one that hit me right here. Because a lot of times I'm like, yeah, if I just work a little harder, if I just do a little extra, right? Christ did it all. You need to understand that in your life today. He did it all. So take it and live with it, right? Enjoy it. He says that so that you might have life more abundantly. You know, we are to live for Him. Does that mean we do good works for Him? Yeah, obviously. The ministry, right? Anything. We evangelize. We tell people about Him. But it's all because He did it first. And we're just simply there to tell people about it. Right? Just rest in that, man. So you can take this two different ways. You can take it like Paul's on your case, or I'm on your case about whatever's going on in your life. Or you can take it as, man, I just need to rest in God. Because it's already done. I just need to rest in that. Go. I'm so busy and I'm so crazy and things are so. I just need to rest in the fact that Christ died on the cross for me. Right? The cross happened for me. Too often we're like, yeah, that's a historical thing. It is a historical thing for you. Man, think about that. Think about that. All right, let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father God, I love You. I thank You for today. Lord, I thank You for just loving us. Lord, I do thank You for just the work that You did on our behalf, Lord, and the fact that we don't have to add to it, that we don't have to do anything other than just glorify You for it. God, if we would have died the second that we got saved without a single good work in our life, we would still spend eternity with You. But the fact that You still have us here and we're still living and breathing means that You're calling us out to do something for You. And so, God, I pray that we would be obedient to the things that we know we ought to be doing, and that we would be obedient to the call that You put on our lives. So, Lord, I pray that You would just use this to stir us up, to get us on the straight and narrow where we need to be, Lord, and just understand that You are calling us each and every day to do the things that You've called us to do. Lord, and if that means that You need to straighten us out a little bit with some chastisement, or if that means that you need to just, you know, stop everything so we can get back to the basics of the Word of God, do that, God, that we would in turn be closer to You in the end. Lord, I pray that You would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that we would just be used of You, that we would walk through open doors that You give us, Lord. It's going to be a week of being around family that we may not normally be around. And God, these are opportunities to Too often we look at these things as, I have to go do this, or God, I pray that you would use these as opportunities to be the light, the salt and the light of the world. So, Lord, just be blessed this week. Lord, I pray that we are just thankful for you in this week of Thanksgiving for what you've done for us, Lord, and that we would just share that with those that are around us. Lord, I pray for service this morning. You just preached through the lips of Brian Hedges, that you would just move him out of the way and that the Spirit of God would just preach to us. Lord, I just pray that you just be blessed. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Thanks.